Good afternoon. It's with great pleasure that I welcome you to the Danish Immigrant Archive at Dana College in the C.A. Dana Life Library. I'm Ruth Rasmussen, the library director. This is a very special day for us. We gather to honor Dr. John W. and Elizabeth Nielsen for their dedicated work in the organization of archival projects and for their remarkable leadership of the many volunteers who make the organizing possible. If you see someone with a flower on their lapel, they're persons who have had some part in the concentrated work done in the room behind me. Would those folks of you who have a flower on your lapel put up your hand? Is Ron Johnson, library director of this library from 1967 to 1983, who was instrumental in gathering and preserving some of the earliest material to form this collection. Ron, would you stand up? Vivian Peterson is also with us today. She was library director from 1984 to 1987. And she was instrumental in the further organization of the materials together with Leela Navy. While Leela is no longer with us, we honor her memory today, too. It's my privilege now to facilitate and share in the work of the archives. It's been especially exciting to me to watch the volunteers pursue their efforts with joy and hard work. It's my pleasure at this time to introduce Dr. Mervyn Christofferson, the president of Dana College. He has also been instrumental in the development of this resource. With his commitment of college and personal support, his encouragement and understanding have been an inspiration to us all, and we appreciate his undergirding of our efforts. Dr. Christofferson.
Welcome. I don't think you'll have any trouble hearing me, but as I was sharing recently, I failed to remember that I shouldn't yell so much at the game. And I did again yesterday, and consequently, I found that I couldn't sing some of those grand old Grundtvig hymns this morning in the way I like to. Not necessarily very well, but loud. But maybe today, absent the microphone, you'll be glad that I'm loud. I do want to welcome you. This is a very special day in the history of Dana's library, and I would argue in Dana's in Dana College history, because it signifies that we are recognizing the dedicated service of one of Dana's very distinguished couples. But also all of the people and all of the hours that have gone in over many decades to the work, to the this labor of love, which has produced what people in the know are suggesting may be the finest collection of papers relating to any immigrant history group, any ethnic group in America. Perhaps the most significant collection of its type in any library or archive, any place in America. And I don't think I even fully appreciated how significant this collection is. And it really hit me the other night as I was reading Tante Johanna. And as I read the introductory remarks by Professor Christensen from Luther College, when it dawned on me that we have something here that is a real prize, something that we must preserve, and I'm grateful for all of you who had that foresight long before I had it. I am going to borrow on some remarks or some a historical narrative that has been provided by Sharon Jensen, and she tells me her husband, Tim, who collaborated on this effort to provide some historical overview on the Dana archive. And so I'd like to, I won't read it all, but I think it's important that you get a little feel for some of this. And I apologize if I've left somebody out. But I think you get a sense of what we have here and how it came to be. And I'm reading from what Tim and Sharon have written. Even though there was little institutional interest in the development of an archive, certain influential people sought to preserve documents and identify key events in the experiences of Danish immigrants to America. They're referencing the early years of Dana's history. PSV, who was president of Trinity, Dana's predecessor body, the seminary, Trinity on four different occasions and who had a compelling passion to bring the gospel to Danish Americans, was in his day the foremost authority on Danish immigration. He wrote extensively in Danish on the experiences of Danish immigrants, including the experiences of Danes who were members of other denominations, who were not involved in the church at all. Maybe the Baptist aunt that I had that came from Denmark and almost to her dying day was a little bit in question. By the time of his death in 1929, that is PSV, he had accumulated an enormous library of unpublished materials. Unfortunately, because of Dana's limited resources, but primarily because of the lack of a wider interest in telling the story of Danish immigration, none of these documents found their way to Dana. Most became part of the founding collection at the Danes Worldwide Archive, the Danske Udvandre Arkiv in Aalborg, Denmark, and others were donated to the Nebraska State Historical Society. The second key figure in the prehistory of Dana's archive was a professor of Norwegian extraction. That's in honor of you, Anne, that I included that, and my mother. That professor was Hans Frederik H.F. Swanson. I believe many of you know him as Swanee. As professor of history at Dana from 1932 to 1956, he wrote a biography of Claus Lauritz Clausen, the Danish-born pastor whose work led to the founding of St. Ansgar, Iowa, and of the Norwegian-Danish Conference, the predecessor of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. It is one of history's nice ironies that the largest Norwegian synod in America was founded by a Dane. As the founder of Dana's History Club, Professor Swanson led his students in exploring and recording the stories of the lives of Danish immigrants. So like Vig, he wanted to gather a library of unpublished materials telling about the lives of Danish immigrants. Also, as with the materials Vig had collected, there was little interest in Dana in retaining his materials in a Dana archive. H.F. Swanson's papers were returned to Dana just this year, but at his death, they were given to the Nebraska State Historical Society. Happily, they're back here where we have access to them. Another member of the Dana faculty of Norwegian ancestry, Agat Hoydahl, was also, I think, instrumental in acquiring this collection. She had begun to document the history of Dana in history, or in Trinity, and when she came to Dana in 1948, Dana's library was transferred from its confined space in Old Main to more spacious, fireproof quarters in the brand new Pioneer Memorial. But in neither location was there much in the way of documentation about either the college or the seminary. During her 18 years as head librarian, she sought to keep copies of all publications dealing with college life, catalogs, yearbooks, student newspapers, and so on. She was the first person to develop a systematic collection of institutional materials. Many of us remember with fondness Ms. Hoydahl. and I did not set those alarm clocks all through the stacks. There has been a rumor out there that I was responsible, and I don't even remember it. Sounds like a good idea. The closest links continue to be with the church. In the 1950s, the president of the UELC, Hans Jersold, had his office at Dan in the same room in Pioneer Memorial, which is currently occupied by the office of the registrar. When he left office in 1955, he left behind the papers of his predecessor, N.C. Carlson, who was president of the UELC from 25 until 50. These papers were placed in cardboard boxes and moved to the fourth floor attic of Old Main, where they resided unknown and untouched until 1975. When they were discovered by Norman Banson and brought to the that's when they were discovered, 1975, by Norman Banson and brought to the library by Richard Jorgensen, two of Dana's professors. These boxes contain several thousand letters in both Danish and English and constitute an invaluable record of the history of the UELC. Efforts at preservation of the Danish past had been primarily individual, relatively unsystematic, and certainly apart from any institutional support. And all this would change dramatically during the tenure of the new library director, Ron Johnson, who was Dana's head librarian from 1966 to 83. By the mid-1960s, Dana had moved far from the exclusively Danish ambiance of its founders. Only half the members of the student body were Lutheran, much smaller claimed Danish heritage. Ron, a Nebraskan of Danish and Swedish ancestry, and a member of my class, had worked for Agat Hoydal as a Dana student. And it was Ron who set the alarm clocks. No, I just like to get that off of my back. There were a number of folks, of course, during this period and continue to this day who have urged students to look into their own background. Faculty members like Norman Banson in some of his composition classes, and later John W. Nielsen, the U Humanities programs required students to do research and write essays about their ancestors. Neil Johnson, professor of history for a period in the early 70s, required students to do oral history, and he himself interviewed many local people, including C.C. Madsen, Paul Nyholm, C.B. Larson, and also, I know Rich Jorgensen spent many hours in the library organizing the N.C. Carlson papers. Well, anyway, these activities on campus were complemented then by a flurry of off-campus forays, and they can tell you more about this. You asked them about it, that Ron Johnson and Norman Banson were responsible for, to gather Danish immigrant materials. And Ron, of course, was aided by his wife, Bodil Strom Johnson, who is a Dane, and was very instrumental in helping them on some of these efforts. They gathered a nearly complete collection of the Danske Pioneer, went to Ebenezer, and brought back collections of G.B. Christiansen, second president of Trinity Seminary, personal papers of Paul Nyholm and C.B. Larson, the journals of Jens Dixon. Richard Jorgensen brought in letters of J.M.T. Winther, UELC missionary to Japan, and Norman Banson, I think, was responsible to help us get the Sophus Keith Winther personal library, an unpublished novel, as well as correspondence and his dime novel collection. The N.C. Carlson papers were also part of the, came into the archive, through P.C. Jensen, UELC archivist and editor of the Ansgar Lutheran, many special documents from the UELC also came here. He had an office in at the Lutheran Publishing House down in Blair, but then began to work from his home in the 70s, passed these materials on to Ron. But at any rate, under Ron's administration, books were cataloged, papers stuffed in boxes were systematically inventoried and stored, and paintings, dishes, candlestick holders, and clerical collars were cataloged and then located in what is still the archive, the artifacts room on the second floor of the library. So Ron was a catalyst for change and the right person at the right time. And of course, that was greatly aided by Lela Nielsen Navy. All of us remember Lela, a woman of exceptional charm, energy, and vision, knew the people and the history of the UELC intimately. Her father was the Reverend M.P. Nielsen. She was married to Paul Navy. And so she was particularly helpful, both in getting some system and also in helping to raise funds so that the archives could, the materials could be properly stored. Anna's archive was now well begun, and of course Ron left to take another position, and we had an interim period there where we had, of course, Lela died in 1988, Norman Vanson retired, then John retired, and but Vivian Peterson came in and helped us during a critical time there as she served as our library director from 84 to 86. And we are grateful for her efforts, especially in connecting with the Danish Immigrant Museum, which was being organized in Elkhorn, and the Danish Immigrant Archive at Grandview College in Des Moines. I want to then say that in the 1980s, John Nielsen, Dr. John W. Nielsen, was looking forward to retirement, had been a professor of religion at Dana for a quarter century. Many of Dana's students know him as Pope John, or he was extremely interested in helping to do something with the papers that he discovered here at Dana and knew about. The living links with Dana's past were on his mind when he attended the funeral of Agatha Hansen in April of 1983. He had heard that the Hansen family had saved some of the documents related to its immigrant past, so following the service, when he sat beside Sarah Hansen Walter, Agatha's daughter, he told her that if there were any records or documents she did not want, do not destroy them, but instead give them to Dana. Sarah, to John's surprise, had been entrusted with an extraordinary number of documents which the family over four generations had been collecting. Exceptionally aware that through the experience of immigration, the family was living through an unusual time of transition. For nearly 100 years, the members of the Hansen and Mengers families had saved nearly everything. Report cards, receipts, photographs, sermons, but most especially letters. Over 13,000 letters telling in intimate and animated detail the stories of their family, and through them, the story of Danish immigration to America. In bringing this collection to Dana College, John W. Nielsen dramatically changed the shape of Dana's archive, and in so doing, changed the direction of his own life as he and Liz now took on a tremendous labor of love. Well, we could go on here, and I won't. I just want to say that John, for retiring from teaching in 1990, just continued to bring his energy and enthusiasm and good judgment to this task. And he has recruited so many volunteers who are wearing flowers today. Some, such as B. Krantz and Dorothy Wright, are assistants from his days at as head of the humanities program at Dana. And others are people with intimate connections with the history of Dana and the UELC, such as Sarah Hansen, niece of Trinity Seminary Professor Ethan Mengers, and Nina Engskow, granddaughter of the first president of Dana College, Christian Anker. Some of these people come every week, some twice a year, but it is a marvelous group. And not only that, they enjoy sharing goodies when they're here, and Liz makes the best coffee I've ever drunk. But anyway, many other collections are beginning to come in. The Lily Jurgensen Sorensen collection covers about the same time period and rivals the Hansen Mengers material and scope. The Danish Brotherhood records came to Dana. I know others. Alvin Peterson, who I know is here, has donated all his sermons, correspondence, and date books from his ministry. And there are many more. Now, thanks to all of these good efforts, every item is listed and coded. Every person and every photograph is, if possible, identified. Records are kept of all donors, visitors, volunteers, and so on. And every year, an updated list of the archives documents are sent or is sent to the Danes Worldwide Archives in Aalborg. The inside work of meticulous record keeping has an external purpose, which is to make these materials available to others And the real one of the reasons for John having the idea, which we were pleased with, to establish Lure Publications, which of course issues now its first publication with Tante Johanna, edited by John, that allows us to share this marvelous collection, these insights, with the world. And I am just so grateful for that. I guess, finally, I would just like to note that in working with this collection, we have to recognize the unsung partner. John's wife, Elizabeth Solovad Nielsen, I don't care what it is, much of the detail work behind the scenes, from encoding most documents to translating Danish to providing hospitality, Liz is always there. She takes care of the unnoticed, time-consuming, and sometimes unpleasant jobs, which need to be done, but which no one else wants to do. As Tim and Sharon say, for example, she alphabetized the hundreds of books from the Hansen-Mengers collection, which were not cataloged in the main archive collection. So the work of the Danish Immigrant Archive, Dana College, has received exceptional energy and direction from John and Elizabeth Nielsen, and it is thriving as never before. And so it is, therefore, fitting, it seems to me, that today we will be able to recognize their service and dedicate the Archival Center to John and Liz. And I want to thank all of you who have been in any way, by your energy, your support, your prayers, and your encouragement, to have helped us establish this fine collection, which has, I think, potential influence on the way in which we understand immigrant history, and do save those documents, however insignificant they may seem to you. Thank you so very much for coming today. Now I'd like to thank you very much, Tim and Sharon, for providing me with background. At this time, I would like to call on Dr. John W. Nielsen.
This is a rather spooky and scary occasion. I knew I would be surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, but I assumed they would be the patriarchs of the past and all those others whose lives we are preserving in the archive. But I'm confronted with a host of living witnesses also, and that just increases both the spookiness, that is in the spiritual sense of the word, and perhaps the scariness also. Those of you who know me rather well know that I cannot live without my life being punctuated by poetry. Not always the best, probably. I discovered I was of the same literary generation as Marion Peterson Anderson, the first of our volunteers to break the circle, and who is now not a living witness, but is a heavenly witness for this occasion also. But one of the real joys of the gatherings, working in the archive, she or I would break forth with the beginning of a line of poetry, and the other would snap it up and continue with the poem. And so this is the bane of my children's life. When we would travel or at home, something would happen and it would trigger off a couple lines of poetry that I would shout for. Well, I think that those of you who are archival volunteers, and maybe all of you, because you must be interested by your presence here today, I know you can't be here only because you think that highly of Dr. Christofferson or of me. It has to be for some other reason, so you must have archetypal interest. You must all sense with us the importance of those lines of Whittier that he spoke in a more romantic connection, I suppose, having viewed Maud Muller raking the hay on a summer's day in New England. But he concludes that poem, "Of all sad words of mouth or pen, the saddest are, it might have been." And we as archive volunteers know the truth of that. Every time we open a new document or a packet that brings us something, we know that all kinds of equally valuable material have been pitched into the garbage can or the incinerator, and they're gone. They're gone for all times. During this past week when we've gathered for homecoming and this coming week when we gather to work in the archive, all kinds of precious heritage material of these Danish immigrants, and yes, you who are their descendants, either by blood or by connection with Dana or the old ULC. You may be German, as I'm half German, or Norwegian, or Swedish, or Spanish, or Portuguese. It doesn't matter. But if you come to Dana College, if you've touched this hill, then this heritage is also partly yours, and you have contributed to it. And so it's thrilling and sad, because what might have been, we have lost. But we aren't a bunch that gets discouraged. To switch over to Longfellow in his Psalm of Life, "Let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing," and boy, we pursue any lead that we have about archival materials, "learn to labor and to wait." We do sometimes wait a long time. Went to a conference, spoke at a conference about 3 years ago in Minneapolis, and several people assured me they were going to be sending something. Well, I'm still waiting 3 years later, but I haven't given up. Maybe it will come. Well, that's the nature of archive activity, is living in constant regret for what we're losing, but also living in constant excitement for what is being retrieved. And this is a wonderful opportunity for me to announce to you, I don't think I've disclosed it to anybody else except to Elizabeth, this past week when Sven Tiggesen, the brother of the Danish ambassador, was here on campus spending 2 days in research, because he was born and lives in the town in Denmark where PSV grew up, and on the basis of John Mark's articles and in Drummond for to America and et cetera, he became interested in PSV, and now he is going to write a Danish biography of PSV. So he was over here looking for materials. Well, I said, well, I don't know, but whether she wants it or is up to it, but Vig's only living daughter-in-law resides here in Blair, and I'll give Mary a ring to see whether she'd be willing to have us come down. So about 9 o'clock on Thursday morning, I called Mary, and she said, oh, I'm sorry. And I thought, well, no, so I just can't do it this afternoon because I'm going to the Good Shepherd home to visit the old people. She's 95. And then after going to the Good Shepherd home, I have to go over to the church to fold the bulletins for Sunday. But if you could manage to come at 9:30 this morning, then I could give you some time. So Tiggesen and I went down to Mary's house. And she, in the meantime, had called her son Ron also. And while we were talking to Mary, Ron arrived too. Well, Mary, who lived up on the hill here,
a neighbor to the Beeb family, played with the Beeb children and the Lund children and the Beck children and those other children who played on this hill almost a century ago now, not quite, filled us in with all kinds of interesting little memento. So I never was too much impressed with PSB. He died before he was her father-in-law, so she taught this way, maybe. We come there for a meal, and he would sit at the end of the table and cut off this bread and meat and just kind of toss it down. After all, he did have seven children, I guess, and then they were constantly taking students and so on, so that was probably a rather perfunctory thing. But anyway, we got all kinds of interesting little snippets, and then Ron came, and he's the one who really is the key figure, because he was his Uncle Einar's little sidekick. And he brought out, and there are seven other pictures under Veeb's portrait in there on the table that had never been shown to the public before. Einar had said, these are pictures that the only time I want them out is if somebody does a good biography of my dad. But when I called, he said, well, I know I'm partly going against Uncle Einar's will, but I think he really would be very pleased. And Ron just beamed when I told him, Sharon, that every month people come up to use Einar's collection of obituaries in which they can find all kinds of genealogical. And he just beamed. Uncle Einar would be just thrilled. So when I made the arrangement to pick up the seven pictures, Ron was there again, and he said, I've been thinking it over, and I've been talking to Mom, and he says, I have several chests of Einar's materials, and I'm going to give them to Dana College. Now, I don't know by chests whether he means little boxes this big or whether he means chests of drawers, but I have no idea. But I know Sharon is just gasping. I know we are going to get something else that is going to be very, very great. So that's the kind of excitement. That's the kind of venture we're on. We're always on our toes. And I look out here and, you know, well, here's Ruth Nelson from St. Cloud, but originally from Boston, and she provided us with the beginning materials of the Boston congregation. And even yesterday, over in the center, she brought the original contract between the Board of Trustees of Old Bethany in Boston and the contractor to build that church, big, huge church, for $7,500 or something like that, and plus many other materials. It is just so exciting what is taking place. Mention has already been made, but I have to mention Lily and Seb's collection, because really, although it perhaps will never attain the quantitative bulk of the Hanson Menger's collection. I don't think it's going to reach 13,000 letters, but I don't know.
I still have boxes.
Yes, I know you do. It becomes another big trove of letters from another family from four or five generations, just like the Hanson Mengers. And what is so great here is we get two Danish immigrant families. We can bounce information off of them, you know, because we can't assume that Sarah's family, and I saw her someplace back there, is necessarily characteristic of every Danish immigrant family. And so we have two families to bounce things off and on. And likewise, Alvin and Adel, and they just thrilled me this summer when they came down, when Alvin brought his sermons down, seven boxes of sermons. And now we have another consistent bulk of sermons that we can bounce off the Hanson Menger sermons. And I appeal to you pastors and you wives of pastors and you offspring of pastors, if you have sermons yet, we would like copies of them. Because if anybody is going to do a study of preaching in the old UALC, we need more than just one or two collections. We need something to bounce off. and see the comparisons. So, and believe me, everything is valuable. If you have a grocery list that your grandmother or your mother made, this tells us the kind of things they bought, the kind of things they could buy, possibly. Elizabeth and I still have, we haven't put in the archive, the record of our first 4 or 5 years of marriage, in which we entered every 3 cent stamp we bought and every 5 cent whatever. We didn't have a lot of money, but we entered every, and it gives a picture of what life was in a parsonage back in those days. So we're desirous of anything that preserves our heritage. And we invite all of you to become a part of it. As you wander around, hopefully, because now you're getting faint and you'll soon need coffee, as you wander around after you get your strength back, ask about and look at some of the things available. And the people with the boutonnieres will be glad to give you the insight that they are able to give. No one of us knows this collection, this archive adequately. We're still in the process of familiarizing ourselves. I know some things that Sharon is surprised that we have. Sharon knows many things that I am surprised. And there are a lot of things that neither one of us know about. The collection is great. That's why I don't believe everything that your president tells you. Everything is not yet recorded or coded or accessible. That's part of the ongoing task. And that Nina points, I say, it's so good to come someplace where there's no deadline because we'll never get done with this. And of course, we don't want to get done with it because we want you to bring more stuff in too so that we're never going to be done. And as I heard about all those people, you know, who preceded me, and I was going to acknowledge them, but I didn't have to because Dr. Christofferson did. I kind of felt like the little blue caboose or whatever color it was at the end of the train. And then, of course, cabooses are now gone, aren't they? And that's kind of good because we may right now be the last car on the train, but we certainly expect some of you are going to link up behind us, and there's going to be younger people carrying on after we aren't here any longer. This is an ongoing thing. And the honor, therefore, today, I don't know what it is, but the honor today is an honor that extends to everybody who catches this spirit. And so again, back to the poets, this time to Alfred Lord Tennyson. He was speaking about the poetic vision and inspiration. But it could just as well be archival. And after it, follow it. Follow the gleam. It's there. And you follow it now. We are soon past. Oh, let's skip over to a Canadian poet too. In Flandersfield, you know. To you from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours the task to hold it high. You do it. You have to do it. Because this is so important. Because you see, we are not a mausoleum. We are not a repository for dead bodies. We are a blood bank containing living plasma. And from this archive, this institution, and families, and a church, who knows who can get an infusion of faith, infusion of learning, infusion of heritage, a vision. This is important. This is exciting. And the fact that so many of you are here today makes it even that more exciting. Thank you much.
up here, I'd just like to have Sharon join me too. I think we should give special thanks to these two ladies, our director and assistant director of our library, because, you know, there could be directors and assistant directors who do not provide that kind of support, who hear ideas, well, we could do this or that, and we say, well, we don't have the funds, or we don't have the, there are other things that are much more important. And I think we should give thanks to them. We could also give thanks to Tom Nielsen back there, who I know has been instrumental in helping with so much with the publication of this book, and John Mark Nielsen, and so many others. But I just think you should thank. Ruth has been provided a real sense of direction and encouragement and support for the development of the archive, and Sharon as well, and has really been involved in making the connection with Denmark and seeing that this collection is something that can be used. So let's thank both.
Wanted to call your attention to the refreshment table at the back, and then also the table over here where the book from the archives that John W. Nielsen has edited is on sale over at this table, and Dorothy and Harold Wright will be happy to take your money. And afterwards, please just stay and visit. The two archives rooms will be open for you to visit. Sharon will show you how the software works that we use for finding all this material. We're overjoyed at the things that we now can do. And at this point, I'd like to have the Nielsens come forward, and Dr. Christofferson and Sharon Jensen. And Sharon and Dr. Christofferson will do the unveiling. We're so happy to do this.
And look at it, and you will, but it does say the John Wolter and Elizabeth Solovat Nielsen Room, named in honor of their dedicated and inspiring leadership and service to the Danish Immigrant Archive, Dana College. Their vision is limitless. Psalm 16:6, yea, I have a goodly heritage. From the Lur Publications Committee, but I think that it'd be nice if we could have Dr. Formo, I know, is here, John Mark Nielsen, Ruth, and I, but especially Dr. Formo, our Vice President for Academic Affairs, he's back there, John Mark, Dr. Nielsen is right here. These are folks that have also been instrumental in helping get this publication off the ground, support John. So thank you so very much to them as well.
You know, perhaps I've had more experience, and if not experience, certainly I find it far easier to respond to criticism than to recognition and honor. So at this point, then, I'm almost speechless. Almost. All I can say is thank you. Very, very much. But as I think I've intimated in what I said already, I'd like to remind us, the recipients, you, the bestowers, and all of you as participants in the naming of this name and the giving of this recognition, of other words by Tennyson. Our little systems have their day. They have their day and cease to be. They are but broken lights of thee, but thou, O Lord, art more than they. This is our little day, and we're going to revel in every moment of it and thank you for it. But we have no illusions. We know that the psalmist was right when he says, the grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the breath, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it, but the word of God stands forever. Our little days, they're not going to last. And places and people don't last. Sandberg's poem, The Grass.
And passengers will ask the conductor, what place is this? Where are we now? Who remembers Austerlitz and Waterloo and Ypres and Verdun? Past.
And I watch others. I know what we're in store for. Before very long, there'll be some people standing down here and saying,
hey, John Waldron, Elizabeth Sullivan Newton, who were they?
And then some students say, oh, I don't know, but I suppose they were some rich Danes who left. If they only knew. But I mean, I think it's a sobering thing. I think it helps us to put the little recognitions. No, they're not little. To put the recognitions that we receive into their kind of historic, eternal perspective. And that should keep any of us from getting too big in it. And keep any from getting too discouraged. Because we're not doing it here for human recognition.
Does everyone know that you volunteer your work?
No. Thank you, Alvin. He's making sure.
I think many do, but some may not know that their work, as I've shared, characterized as a labor of love. They don't accept any pay, and well, I guess we haven't offered either. Alvin, would you just remain quiet? No, they do entirely.
Okay, this is great, and if you want to sing a table of prayer, just raise your hand, or what you want to do. Yeah.
Can we sing a table of prayer?
Ed Hansen is back there, and why don't you start us off with a table prayer? Sing the table prayer.
What Which one are we going to sing?
Be present and that today let's feast in
feast
paradise.
In paradise.
We're going to labor here, with all. Let's feast in paradise.
Because present at our table, Lord.
Another wife back there. And come here. So many things couldn't happen if it were not for Mrs. Christofferson. I think you people know it. I assumed that you did. But I wanted to say thank you from Elizabeth and me. Inspiration over there. They've done so much for the Grand View Archive, and we were just at a meeting, and I knew an invitation was going to them. I didn't realize that they'd be able to make it, so you are especially welcome, and some of you know them, so You'll want to talk to them, and some of the rest of you introduce yourselves to them.
Could we also ask the family members of John and Elizabeth who are here, the children and the grandchildren and the in-laws and other cousins and friends, would you all just stand so we can say thank you to you?
Thank you. you'd like to hear more of that group, we're giving a recital Tuesday night. I think it's the day after tomorrow in the Trinity Chapel at 7:30. So some of you will come and hear what else we have to play. Before the Vanna College Concert Band plays its last selection for you, I would like to thank each of you for being here and for your kind applause. It is truly a thrill for us to play for such a large and enthusiastic audience. We will close the concert by employing your help. I am very anxious to hear what it will sound like in here with 2,000 people singing heartily. Please join us on this Christmas sing-along. The individual carols are listed in your program, but I'm sure you'll all recognize them. Please feel free to sing loudly, but try not to cover the band too much. Again, thank you for being here, and for Vanna College, we wish you a Merry Christmas.